It's time now for Reformation with Pastor Woodson Moore.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country's way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More love, less hatred, embrace and grace.
Well, this is Pastor Woodson Moore coming from Fairton Christian Center in Fairton, New Jersey. Here we are. It's Thursday. The week is flown by us. I hope it's been a good week for you. You put your trust and confidence in God like we talked about yesterday, and he'll take care of you. He'll secure you. Doesn't mean the enemy won't fight you. He will. But God will bring you through each and every one of them. There'll be no temptation come to you that he won't make a way of escape, and there's no weapon that's going to be formed against you that will ultimately prosper, and that God is for you. Who, what, where, when, why can be against you in the long run? Because the greater one indwells you. Have confidence. Have faith in God. You say, how do I do that? Do what he says to do. You know, I say this over and over again. Do what the Bible. You say, well, what are you talking about? Do what the Bible tells you to do. Well, just start with the Ten Commandments. You don't violate them. Then beyond that, at the academy, we have high school, and, you know, when a young person is a senior or a junior, they're getting ready to go on to college. They're getting ready to start a new life. In the past, it wasn't unusual for an 18 or a 19 or a 20-year-old to get married, start a home. And so what is it going to take for them to be successful? And when it comes to being obedient to God, I mean, you got the Ten Commandments, but then the next one, there are certain things that are there that they need to do. Number one, you don't let any root of bitterness spring up in your heart. You forgive those who trespass against you. You say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to forgive people. There are people that have done things to me. They deserve to die. We all deserve to die because we all have sinned. And so you forgive. Jesus, Mark 11, said, when you stand praying, forgive those who have trespassed against you so that your heavenly Father can forgive you. That's imperative. No uncanceled sin or warrants out against you. Second thing, be a tither. Be a giver of the first fruits of your life, because God will take that and he will bless it. It's like the little boy that he didn't have anything but some loaves and fishes. But he gave it to Jesus, and Jesus prayed over it. He blessed it, and he used that to feed the multitude, and there was a bunch left over. And I bet that little boy got some of what was left over to take home to his mom that night. Why? Because that little boy gave, and God blessed it. You bring the first fruits of your life into God's house, present it to the priest that is in your time, which would be Jesus, and he will bless what you have brought. And, you know, as a young couple starting out, you're going to need a house. You're going to need furniture. Many times you've gone to college. You're going to have to pay for your college. The Lord doesn't want people in debt over their head to where they're fighting and quarreling and fussing with one another. He wants to bless you. And the key to that is obedience to God's word. Bring the first fruits into the house of God. People don't want to hear that, but boy, that's what I taught my kids. You know, my daughter married a wonderful man. They own their own home. God is blessing them. My son married a wonderful woman who came from a godly home, a pastor's home, and God has blessed them. Their home is paid for. I know sometimes it's kind of hard to get people to see it, but in order to receive, you have to give. That's the very law and essence of life. There is no living unless there is giving. If giving stopped, the world would end. If the acorn trees did not give, if the oak trees did not give acorns, there would be no more oak trees after a period of time. Same with the hickory trees. Same with everything. Everything is reproducing after its own kind. If it ceases to reproduce, then life comes to an end. And it all begins with giving. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him. See, he gives. God is a giver. You're made in his image. You need to be a giver. There's an account told of John D. Rockefeller Sr. Here he was, the world's richest man, and he couldn't eat anything. His stomach was all messed up. He was 60 years old. He was dying. And he began to go down on the streets of New York City with dimes. And he just began to give the dimes away. Now, you say, well, that's not much. Well, it was then. A dime then is probably worth about $5 today, maybe more. And he began to give them, and as he began to give, it began to do something to him. Instead of just trying to get and grab, he is quoted as having been asked the question, how much more do you need, Mr. Rockefeller? And his supposed reply was, just a little more. He already had billions. He didn't need a little more. What he needed to do was begin to give. See, these are laws of life that when we follow them, we don't hold grudges. We don't allow ourselves to be filled with envy. These are all disciplines that the Lord brings into our life. And what it does is it blesses our being. It works against harmful hormones being released through anger and rage and resentment and unforgiveness into our body. And these hormones, they continue to work. And I believe people come down with dreaded diseases because they're not being obedient to what God said to do. And that's why it becomes so important that we obey. Now, I assume if you go to church, probably ever so often you celebrate what we call communion or the Eucharist. And see, that's a blood covenant that you're celebrating. Jesus, when you take that bread, he said, this is my body that was broken for you. And when you take that juice or wine, this is my blood, which is the blood of the new covenant. See, that new covenant, people don't even understand covenant. It's an agreement made between at least two people on the basis of love, not fear. A contract is a document of fear. The covenant is a covenant of love. And Jesus said, I'm going to make this covenant with you if you will make it with me. And I will bless you. I'll protect you. I will keep you. And when your life on this earth is over, you will be a joint heir with me forever in heaven. Carmen is going to sing Nothing But the Blood.
What can wash away my sin?
Oh,
Jesus Christ today.
He'll take your sins away. He'll take your sins away.
And keep you happy in his love each day.
He'll take your sins away.
I am so glad he took my sins away. And every month in our church, we celebrate communion. We celebrate that blood covenant. Remember where that came from? In the Passover that took place in Egypt as God was delivering his people? He said, kill that Passover lamb, put the blood on the doorpost of your house, and when the death angel comes, he'll see the blood and he'll pass over you and your home. When you are under the blood covenant of Jesus, that force of death, that spirit of evil, will see that blood, that covenant, and know that you are in covenant relationship with the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. And know, as you stand in that name of Jesus, that you will be kept. You, your loved ones, will be kept. Because if you know Jesus, you will know freedom. If there is no Jesus, there'll be no freedom. Because Jesus is freedom.